This passage from the Sermon on the Mount, from the sixth chapter of Matthew, part of a sermon that is both comforting and discomforting at the same time. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single span to your life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today is trouble enough for today.
No, none of you truly know what will happen the rest of this day. Many of you know that you plan to head over to Von Liebig following this service to be part of the Stone Church retreat. I'd say at least 75% of you can picture that sill boardroom where we plan to gather. Some of you know that you simply have too many other obligations, or it's just not possible for you to attend, so you're thinking perhaps about the work that you need to accomplish or the people that you're going to be with. There may be some of you that have other plans for the afternoon or evening. You've had those on the calendar, or something did come up. A number of you may be planning on heading over to participate in Morgan, our Junietta Students Honors Project, later today. At least some of you think that you'll get a Sunday afternoon nap. But really, you don't know what's going to happen the rest of the day, or tomorrow, or the next day. One thing that we can be sure of is that change is certain. I'd like to have us acknowledge that living with the unknown is our reality. Though some people think that it's a problem to be solved, yet what if we lived just saying that the unknown is the normal? Certainly we live in anxious times. Some have proposed that these are dangerous times, unlike many that we have known, while others declare it's often been like this. Whatever the time, many are anxious. I'd ask you to consider what might be most anxious, or what me is most anxious about on this last Sunday of February. Could it be the unknowns about your own health, or what might be coming for you or some loved ones? For many, it's the unrest in our country and in our world. For others, there is this uncertainty about family dissension, about distrust. There is often anxiety about finances. And a few of you might be a bit unsettling and unsettled by what's happening here at Stone Church following my letter of resignation. We are anxious or unsettled, even though we just read Jesus' clear instructions. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry. Tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble, Jesus said, is enough for today. Barbara Brown Taylor posed this question. What if our cure for anxiety is learning to be comfortable with uncertainty rather than counting on God to take it away? What if our cure for anxiety is learning just to be comfortable with uncertainty rather than counting on God to take it away? Jesus was clearly addressing his disciples in this last part of the Sermon on the Mount. There are some choices offered right up front. Are you going to serve God or pursue wealth? Are you ready to trust God or fret over life's necessities? The scenarios are proposed to that tight-knit group who had had some amazing experiences with Jesus. They had watched him heal and share his challenge to build a community or a context where all people, even women, would be treated equally in a culture that could barely recognize one, let alone the poor and the ones with skin diseases, or probably the homosexuals of the day. The disciples had walked along with Jesus long enough to know one could never expect the usual. But there was this new normal, a kingdom of God, so to speak, that gave people dignity and welcomed everyone to the table. Even though the 12 did not tire of observing and watching Jesus show this new way of living, there must have been a level of anxiety just below the surface. Is this real? Can I really trust that what is happening? And how do I trust what he's saying to us? You know, Pablo Casals, the famous Spanish cellist, one of the greatest cellists of the 20th century, he lived to be 97 years old, was famous for beginning every day by playing all six of the Bach unaccompanied cello suites. When he reached the age of 95, a young reporter threw him this question. Mr. Casals, you are 95 and the greatest cellist that ever lived. Why do you still practice 6 hours a day? And Mr. Casals answered, because I think I'm making progress. I know this reality of practice, and I'll admit sometimes I just don't like it. I began piano lessons at the age of 7. I had a lesson every week for years. I can't forget my teacher, Mrs. Sullenberger, and the Fred Thompson piano lesson books. Her insistence that just another week would improve my skills on every piece of music. And I went to her house for that lesson, waiting in the hallway, at least until I was a sophomore in high school. I played for groups and soloists, but then I quit. And I haven't practiced all these years. And now I can barely play a hymn. And my clarinet has been in its case since graduating from college. Someday, I think, I'll have more time to practice. And when I no longer change diapers on a daily basis, I get out of practice. When I quit walking my morning route for a few days, I get out of practice. And letting my ritual change about my time of meditation and prayer leaves me out of practice. And it's then that I realize I must always practice trust. Following Jesus takes intentionality and focus, and remembering that when we have promised to serve God, we have to practice trust. Ultimately, whether one serves God or wealth depends upon trust. The appeal to trust God is the goal, you see, of Jesus' picture of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. If God takes care of the birds and the wild flowers, Jesus promises, then surely God will take care of us. Those verbs of look at the birds of the air and consider the lilies of the field are in Greek very strong verbs. They mean to suggest more than just this casual glance. They invite us to study and scrutinize this world of nature. Jesus commands, look, really look at a world where God provides freely and lavishly. Jesus invites us to allow our imaginations to enter such a world. Sure, we still have to pay the bills and meet the needs of others, but there is nothing in this world that can take away what God provides. Dignity, a sense of worth, the confidence of being called by name, of being treasured in the heart of God. When the kingdom is lived in this earth, that is, when all people have dignity, when open table fellowship is practiced by all, when hierarchy is upended, when all people are treated as beloved by God, then we can see evidence of God's kingdom here on earth. And it takes practice to seek first this kingdom of God. Certainly, I am convinced that we must strive to discern how God is working in the world, among us, and just how we can participate in the acts of justice on God's behalf. And that takes tremendous practice. It takes us to focus individually as well as a community of faith. Today, we come to this table to be fed, to be strengthened and to eat of the bread and the cup of Jesus, to practice our trust in the one who will be with us through all the changes of our lives, to practice seeking kingdom so that our work together, planning for the upcoming ministry here at Stone Church, will be rooted and grounded in sharing God's deep love and grace with the world. Here we are, gathered in an anxious, anxious world with the best possible news. For we do know that with the sunrise, we are confident that whatever tomorrow brings, God will be in the midst of it all. God always faithful. So, and can we practice that truth? With God leading the way, may we practice trust and seek first the kingdom of God. Amen.